Hey guys, welcome back to Pew Pew Panel Podcast. I'm Chad, and Ava is... Are you co-hosting today? Because I'm doing the intro? This is weird. Well, welcome back. We are going to do something a little bit different today because Ava has had her entire body and soul in guns lately with all of this crap going on in Colorado. So we're going to lighten the mood a bit and talk about some things that you may not know about us today. And I've got a couple of shop projects to update y'all on and more, like usual. So, Ava, how the heck are you doing today?
Well, I'm going to pull one for you and be like, do you want the real answer or the fake answer? I mean, so the real answer is I'm actually doing well. I'm better than I should be. And honestly, so if you guys aren't aware, Colorado, the assault weapons ban progressed the House this past week, and now it's going to the Senate. It's been a really long week. But that said, there is something that happened to me recently that's really good. And I recently, if you guys don't follow me on social media, I put out on social media that if anybody wanted to, you know, meet with me, even if they were anti-gun or they didn't have any knowledge about guns, if they wanted to talk about guns, that we can meet up and I would be more than happy to explain things. I even said, even if they come from Moms Demand Action, I don't care, you know, because I was listening to a lot of Moms Demand Action advocates testify, and ultimately a lot of them have lost a child or a loved one in a shooting. And I was kind of like, you know what, I can kind of relate. Like, they're trying to keep, you know, their loved one living and trying to make an impact. And in a way, like, I got into guns because I lost my mom and I'm trying to keep her legacy, you know, going in the family business. And I'm like, I think at the end of the day, we all can find common ground if we really, you know, look into it. So long story short, I had the opportunity to meet up with a Democrat, a House Democrat, and spoke to her aide. Super nice, actually. We right off the bat found some common ground and met with her in person last week, went to the Capitol. I was there for 8 hours. I spoke to the aide, and then I also testified against two anti-gun bills. And then ever since, I've been exchanging text messages with this Democrat. And to my, so I found out today, actually, she doesn't even live in a swing district. Her district is very much Democrat. And yesterday they actually had a vote on a Sunday, which I know this show comes out Tuesday. Today's Monday. But on Sunday they had the House vote and she actually voted no, which really wasn't in her best interest to vote no because of the district that she represents. And I honestly, a part of me kind of like wanted to cry because I felt like I finally like accomplished something. And there's been so many people that have told me that I'm wasting my time, that it doesn't pay to talk to Democrats or liberals or people who, you know, advocate for Moms Demand Action. But I do think that at the end of the day, like, we're all Americans. A lot of us just want to make sure that we're saving lives, whether it's, you know, possibly their outlook, taking guns out of hands of people, or my outlook where guns will, you know, give you a fighting chance. We might have a little bit more in common than we think. And I think as long as we are respectable about it and have these conversations, and I delivered her stat after stat after stat of just all the things and all the reasons why this quote unquote assault weapons bill won't make a difference. And long story short, there was 9 Democrats that actually voted against this bill, which is more than what we thought. And what I also find interesting is 6 out of the 9 were females, which makes me think that these females have bigger balls than, you know, the rest of their party. But that's another conversation for another day. Real quick, I'm not going to bore you guys with all of the political stuff, but we do need help. If you guys are listening and you want to help, even if you're in another state, because like I said, if we don't stop it in the states like Colorado, it is going to spread. I would highly recommend that you guys go to gunfunny.com. On the homepage at the very top, there's a link. If you click on that, I've comprised a list of all of these senators that could potentially change their mind that are not hard no's. And if you guys could respectfully ask them to vote no on this bill, which is HB 241292, also known as the quote-unquote assault weapons ban bill. And that would greatly, greatly help. And that is gunfunny.com. All right, I've said my piece. Now we can start with the rest of the show. And I'm excited to kind of not talk about guns. But before we do, before we take that break, well, that's not true because also my mail call is a gun. But before we take that break, I do want to talk about Rossi. And I really like their products. Like, I just recently shot the revolver that they sent me. I've been shooting that lever action that they sent me, that 30-30. And I can't help but think, like, okay, what if they do, what if this assault weapons ban bill passes Colorado and I am stuck with a lever gun? I'm like, I better get really proficient and, like, learn how to shoot it rapidly. And that's actually been a lot of fun, too. And then I also put on a Gideon optic on that lever action as well, but we'll talk about Gideon here shortly. But if you guys haven't checked out Rossi, they have all kinds of guns. They have some really nice lever actions. They have some really cool, just like truck guns, just some really unique stuff. And then they also have revolvers. Check it out, RossiUSA.com, and let them know that we said hi. All right, Chad, do you want to go first since I just talked everyone's ear off for the first part of the show?
It's okay. I was just intently listening as well. So I don't really have anything in the mail. Nobody ever sends me anything, hardly ever. But I did have a shop project the other day. Another local shop brought me this CMR-30 from a customer.
Oh,
nice. It had the 16-inch barrel on it. So I took this whole thing apart, which is a bit of a giant pain in the butt how Kel-Tec designs these things. But anyways, I cut it down to 10 inches. Put a nice half by 28 thread on it with a nice recess there, a little relief cut, 11-degree crown just to match back up with the factory barrel, and engraved it for him in kind of a low-key area. Actually, I engraved the bolt. So a lot of people don't realize that on NFA items, you can engrave the barrel, the bolt, pretty much any major component like that, and it still counts. You don't have to engrave the polymer. This polymer's weird. It wouldn't match up to any of my laser settings, so there's that. But that's kind of a neat project. I've shot these things before, but never a little tiny guy. And then the AK project, it's coming along.
Oh, it looks great. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's coming along. It's just a receiver, but technically this is a machine gun right now. But the receiver's been heat-treated. I fired up the heat-treat oven the other day, and took this thing up to 1600 degrees, quenched it, and then tempered it at 700 for a little while, and got right around like Rockwell C40, 40 mm-hmm. Rockwell or so. So kind of right there where you want to be. Welded on the reinforcement plate, and I'm working on getting the trunnion, the rear end, the front trunnion riveted in place this week. Trying to have it done for a shoot coming up next weekend, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to with all the other shop work going on. I got a ton of Cerakote to do, and it's been crazy lately in here. But yeah, that's some updates on some shop work. Yeah, for those
what
of you who are
it?
Interested.
What shoot is it?
It's my men's group at church. We're doing this thing called man camp, and they asked me if I'd set up a table and run some guns. So they're floating the bill on the ammo. I'm just donating my time and some guns, but I really want to have an AK done for that because, I mean, got the Uzi, the MP5, M16, having an AK, those are kind of like four big iconic guns.
Mm-hmm.
But
very cool.
That's the goal. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if I can get it done. I may have to work some late shifts trying to get it knocked out. But
I don't even want to hear it. This is it's only 12 o'clock and this is my third show that I've done today. So working
you're
late.
Killing it.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
And this morning at 9 a.m., I just grabbed some lipstick out of just whatever. And people will see it on my YouTube channel. But I'm wearing bright red lipstick. It's 9 a.m. I look like I'm like going out for the night. And I didn't realize. I just like put it on real quick. And then as we started, I was like, okay, and my lips are bright red. That's great. It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, I'll put mine on too.
Yes, I know. We gotta get those viewers up. So I got something from Ross Martin. It's a new company, and I believe they started in 2020. Don't quote me on that, but they are very new. And they sent me a gun. This is the gun. I really liked the FDE. They have it in black or gray, I believe. And at first glance, it kind of just looks like very similar to like maybe, I don't know, similar to like a Glock-ish. But people that have shot it, they've all like ranted and raved about it. And then it does have steel magazines, which is something that, you know, you don't typically see. And let's see. Also, I kind of like the lime green. That looks kind of cool, right?
Very cool. Hi, Viz follower.
Yes. Let's see what's underneath here. I haven't even checked any of this stuff. I haven't really opened it much. Okay, so it has different back straps. So you can change out the grip if you have smaller hands or larger hands. I'm sure the one that's on it right now is probably the medium-sized grip. And then it has blacked out back sights, your typical white white dot front sight, some pretty aggressive serrations on the side. It's optic ready. And I have yet to even try out this trigger, actually. Get that thing out. Let's try this out. Oh, and it has a little safety on that trigger. Not a bad little trigger, actually. There's like no take up. Reset's nice. Mag release is ambidextrous. And so is the slide lock, which the slide lock you don't typically see on both sides. It's usually only on the left-hand side. And then the mag release is usually, they say it'll be ambidextrous, but you actually have to take it to a gunsmith and have them switch out that mag release, whereas this one is on both sides. So kind of nice. I'm excited to shoot it.
We checked those out at a SHOT Show this year. Yeah. And the most impressive thing to me was the amount of features that you get for the price point, because they're sub like $400 gun.
That's, I think, even maybe less than that. Don't quote me, but that's what I was thinking too. Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, remember even just like a year or two ago, just to get something that was optic ready was not, you couldn't find anything like that, like for less than like $600. Like IWI was the only company that was making the Masada that was MSRP of 450, but otherwise it was pretty rare to find a gun that was optic ready and priced at a, you know, at a pretty reasonable rate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the way things are going right now, is all these features are expected at pretty much all price points these days. Mm-hmm. It's not just an exclusive thing anymore. You know, you buy the gun like cheap. I mean, like you could get those Smith & Wesson SD9s or SDV.
Oh, yeah. Ones. Like, they have their new generation. Yeah.
And then people would pay, you know, $125 or more dollars to have an optics cut put on those. And you lost the ability to have a plate on top unless you had one custom made. So the guns now are coming with, you know, optics plates or the covers. They're optics ready, so you can run them with irons or with an optic on there. Ambidextrous controls, great triggers. I mean, awesome coatings. It's just, they're killing it. And it's just kind of the new norm. But I mean, I was pretty impressed with the gun. I haven't been able to get my hands on one and shoot it yet. But for the amount of features, like I said, the price is very impressive.
So. Yeah. I'll report back once I shoot it. And I still haven't even shot the Canik TTI. Like, I'm so behind on all this stuff. Like,
well,
I'm telling
you are a busy, my life. You're a busy, busy girl right now.
Yeah.
Female.
It's okay. We only have 3 more weeks left of this. And then I'm taking, well, I'm taking the longest vacation, but I think I'm going to go to NRA annual meetings. Not because I'm a fan of the NRA per se, although they have been one of the few organizations here in Colorado helping us to testify against all of these bills, more so to just support my sponsors. But then I think after that, I'm due for a vacation. And yeah, I think I just want to sit there, do nothing, and drink a pina colada, like maybe by a beach or something. But at this point, a tanning bed, I would take that too. all right, so now it's time for listener questions. So, and Chad, you were nice enough to put together the show notes. So these are the first time that I'm even looking at this.
Surprise, all right, surprise.
I know. This one's from X189, Feel the Thrill. I like that. Feel the thrill. It's not feel, it's a P-H-I-L. I have a question for both Ava and Chad. If you had to choose only one caliber to shoot for the rest of your life, what would you choose and why? Okay. Well, shall I go or shall you go?
I'll go. 22 long rifle.
Ew, why?
Because you can kill anything with 22 long rifle, and it's cheap, and I can stack a whole lot of it deep.
So, yeah, that's right, because you like 22s. I don't like
I love
22s.
22.
I mean, I like shooting them sometimes, but like I get bored because I want to feel the recoil. Like I want to be like, yeah, that was so cool. In fact, oh, so you probably don't see much on social media. I know you're not on there that often, but recently over the weekend, I went to my dad's and I was able to shoot quite a few full autos. And one of the guns that they had on the table was that Tippmann Gatling gun that's
Oh,
chambered into a
yeah.
22 long rifle. And you just like crank it. It's almost like you're doing like a music box. It was pretty uneventful. It was cool though. It's not something that I don't think I would buy. I wouldn't spend that much money on it, but it was just like dee dee dee. And then I did a shout out to 22 Plinkster, my buddy over there, and I was just like, hey man, this one's for you. And then I was like, all right, well, time to shoot some larger calibers. And shot all kinds of stuff, but the main guns that I shot were 9 millimeters, including a Sten gun. That was a lot of fun. It was another one was a BNT. I forgot the model.
Like an APC-9 or the GMH-9.
I don't even know. BNT is like one of those companies that I don't pay much attention to because I'm like I can't afford them at all.
They got the
So.
little MP9, the little tiny like machine
No,
pistol,
this
that
one
sort
was
of
pretty
thing.
big. Originally, I thought it was chambered in 5.56 because of how big it was. And then I looked and I was like, oh, wait, no, that's 9 millimeter. I'll figure it out and I'll get back to you. I'm just drawing a blank. But, anyways, that said, I would hands down shoot 9 millimeter because one, I don't hunt, not against hunting. I just don't really do it, but it's great for self-defense. It's still fairly inexpensive. And even shooting it in full auto is fun. And yeah. Nine
I
millimeter
think
answer.
two, I, 9 mil's good, but I think 22 for me still because there's two other reasons. Number one, many of the firearms that are out there on the market have 22 conversion kits, so it's not like I couldn't still shoot an Uzi or an MP5 or the AR or whatever the case is.
True.
Even the AKs have 22 conversions. But also, if it's for the rest of my life, I'm gonna be an old man one day, I hope, and I may not be able to handle those heavy recoiling calibers. 'Cause my bones will be real frail, and my muscle density it'll
Okay,
go
we get
down,
it.
and
We
I'll get
get
real weak, and I can only shoot 22, so
it.
I don't know,
That's true.
but
That's
that's
true.
just me. All
Yeah. I mean, well said. Next
right.
question is from Michael Dunn 150. Why is it illegal to turn a rifle into a pistol, but is allowed to turn a pistol into a rifle? So essentially, why is it illegal to turn a rifle into a pistol, but you can't turn a pistol into a rifle? What is the difference? Either way, you are changing the firearm to another.
So it's really stupid with like the Gun Control Act and like NFA law and all the wording in there. If you take a rifle and you convert it to a pistol, you can't do that. That's illegal. You can't take a rifle and put a shorter barrel on it and make it into a pistol. Once a rifle, always a rifle. Okay, that's the adage. Once a rifle, always a rifle. But you've seen the Glock carbine conversion kits before. All right, right. They come with like a stock attachment and they come with a 16-inch barrel. Well, you can take your pistol and you can put a 16-inch barrel on it and a stock, and then you've got a carbine. You can legally convert it into a rifle and then back to a pistol because it was originally a pistol. The whole thing with the rifle converting it to a pistol is some verbiage that is, it's a weapon. There's some wording in there that's a weapon made from a rifle, as far as like a short barrel rifle goes. So if you convert a rifle into a pistol, then you're basically making an illegal short barrel rifle per the letter of the law. It's the dumbest thing, but that's kind of the way it is. But always remember, all once a rifle, always a rifle.
Yeah, it's
So
pretty just like all these other laws.
it's clear as mud. I mean, that's the favorite thing when discussing the Gun Control Act or NFA, it's clear as mud. And especially
Yeah.
in ATF's interpretation of anything, clear as mud. Just remember that.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, cheers, y'all. You got your caliber coffee? Oh, look at it. This time we're opposite. If you guys have not checked out Caliber Coffee, you definitely need to. I actually have their bag here. I have one bag that I've not opened yet, and it is the 22 Cal. It's the light roast. Okay, people are probably like, oh, you like light coffee, but like from my understanding, light roast actually has more caffeine, and the way that I am going, I absolutely need that more, more caffeine. But yeah. Use the code PewPew. You'll get 10% off. Let them know that we sent you. And that is calibercoffee.com. Cheers. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, listener comments. This one's from Dean O.
O'Lyric. Dean O'Lyric.
1750. Chad, we love to hear about suppressors. Great show this week, as always. Well, that's cool, because last I knew, Chad wasn't the only host, so I'm here.
I think that it might be in relation to the suggestion I made about doing an episode about suppressors, like all about suppressors. So that's what I felt like it was meaning.
Yeah, so I think you're right.
You gonna keep me around?
Yeah. All I don't have anybody else. I mean, what, you think Peaches is going to appear?
What? Like, I'm keeping you around because I don't have anybody else. I've got no other options, so I'm stuck with you.
I mean, listen, I'm sure your wife says the same thing. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
Almost 15 years of it, so.
Yeah, that's great.
All right.
I mean, that is definitely nice because you don't see too many marriages lasting that long, which is a shame. Hence why I've never been married, actually, because I do take marriage very seriously. And I'm like, if I marry, like, you are going to die with me and I will make sure of it. Anyways, got a little crazy. Next is Frankfur Fun 64. I'm chuckling way too much with your peach and box references. Man, I got to grow up. I'm trying to think, when did I make peach and box references? And by the way, Peaches is laying here on my lap. She's 9 out of 10 times always laying on my lap. She's my shadow. It's great. Sometimes I just need a little break. Next is Dean Calloway. Listening to this, the takeaway is there's one thing we can always count on, and that's the government stealing our money, making our lives hard for no good reason.
Truth.
Dude, yeah. I'm like 100%.
That's pretty, I was going to say it's pretty relevant because today, Monday, is tax day.
I know, which by the way, I had to ask for an extension.
Oh, yeah.
That's another story.
Oh, yeah. Quite a relevant comment for the day.
I know. Pay those taxes. JR1582, holy crap, I didn't realize where I had seen Ava's pretty face before until she mentioned her dad is Dragon Man. Now it all makes sense. Imagine having a dad that cool. I want to go there on vacation one day for sure. Man, I thought he was going to call it my OnlyFans. I got a little nervous for a second.
Oh, my gosh. Look, yeah. I thought that comment was pretty interesting because my brother-in-law reached out to me maybe about 2 weeks ago, and he's been listening to the podcast, and he said, I didn't know you knew Dragon Man's daughter. That's so cool. Like, what? You're doing a podcast with her? Oh, my gosh. And he was, like, freaking out because he's followed Dragon Man for the longest time, followed your dad. And he was, like, he went, like, fanboy on the whole thing. And he's a really cool – he lives in Austin, Texas. He's a really cool guy. But anyways, I just thought it was a funny comment. Just reminded me of him.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, my dad's a good guy. If you guys want to check him out, just look up Dragon Man's and follow him on social media. He is a character.
Very much so.
And then next is Run Owen 6533. Ava, do you have a list of people to vote for and the ones to vote out? Also, you should run and get the face of the fight and stop these Californians. Like I said, so if you guys go to gunfunny.com, I made a list of all of the senators that the bill is heading to next, and they could potentially change their minds and vote in our favor. So please, guys, contact them, be polite, and ask them politely to vote against the assault weapons bill, quote unquote, HB 24-1292. And then when it comes time for elections, bet your butt I am making a list of exactly who to vote out. Unfortunately, this is where we have our hands tied behind our back to an extent, because some of these people, so like Elizabeth Epps, she is the sponsor of the assault weapons ban bill in the House, and I can't stand this woman. But she's going up against another Democrat who is probably just as bad. That said, I absolutely want her out. I mean, this woman, I've never met somebody who is more evil. In fact, the other day she put on Twitter that she thinks of the Constitution as a piece of parchment. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even make this up. She's also been in jail before. She spent 24 days in jail. She got pregnant when she was 16. She calls herself an evolutionist.
Abolitionist.
Yes, thank you. I was like, what the hell is that? And it's apparently to abolish the, like, police officers. Like, I'm just like, you can't even make this up. Like, this lady is so far gone. But yeah, so anyways, the only person that's running up against her is another Democrat, and apparently he's very, very far left-leaning. But that said, I'm like, I don't care. We need to get this woman out. So yeah, I am going to make a list, and I hope that other people in other states do. If you do your homework, spread the word. And then also, there's a lot of people that I know of, I don't know about you guys, but lots of people that I know that aren't even registered to vote. We need to change that. Get out and, you know, have people register. It's really easy to do so. Literally just Google how to register to vote and just follow the prompts online. But we need all hands on deck, and we need to make America, I want to say red again, but I do think that there is something to be said about having a somewhat, you know, like having the checks and balances, like having, you know, a fair amount of Democrats and Republicans in office. But at this point, we are just way outnumbered by Democrats. So,
unfortunately, yep.
Yeah. So, and I also, man, so my friend was like, it's okay. After May 8th, then you can relax. And I was like, no, after May 8th, then we start campaigning. Like, I drank the Kool-Aid. I'm so far gone, but I'm going to help all of these people campaign and make sure that they get reelected, the good ones, anyways. And so that's what I'll be doing. So it doesn't stop.
Was that the comment? I read one comment, I think, that you had posted, or somebody did, but regarding she thinks the Constitution is just a piece of parchment that she doesn't acknowledge, and it shouldn't control her life, basically, in more words or less.
Yeah, she did not make a death pact with a piece of parchment.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's only the founding document that we base our entire republic on. I mean, no big deal.
Yeah, and then apparently she was also, I heard she was arrested again recently from the Capitol because she was like protesting for pro-Palestine. And I guess that goes, I don't know all the details of this, but I think that if you are a representative, you can't get involved in that stuff. Don't quote me on that I'm not entirely sure. But I'm like, this lady is just a walking, excuse my language, shit show. And I would love to see her, you know. And then there's Timothy Hernandez, who's only 20-something years old. He's like, I'm the first Gen Z member to get elected. He did not get elected. His seat was given to him. And he also is abolitionist or whatever?
I'm just making a guess.
No, that's what it is. But I've never said it, but like, I've never read that before. The lady who just co-sponsored the bill in the Senate is also, I mean, these people are just, they're horrible. It's like the small few that are just ruined for everyone. And they're bullies. Like, you see how they treat their colleagues, and even their colleagues don't like them. So, yeah.
Well, it's like in the U.S. House, it's, what do they call it? The squad with AOC and Tlaib and all them, like the far left extremists, but there's far right extremists too. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the moderates, which people in America are moderates.
Yeah. And it makes up like 80% of the rest of us.
It's just the extremists. I mean, they are crazy. They really are, especially liberal extremists, but we got some wackos on the right too. I mean, let's just leave it at that.
No, I agree.
But anyways.
All right, let's start the main topic, and let's just stop talking about politics and guns and have fun for a little bit and just kind of, you know, not to say that I don't love talking about guns and politics, but I could use a little break, and Chad, I think you could too. That's why I'm really excited to talk about some of the other hobbies that we have and some of the stuff you guys may or may not know about us, but I'm going to start. So for one, you guys may or may not know that I am obsessed with plants. I actually even recently joked A few weeks ago, I was like, man, you know, it would be great if I just opened up a plant store, got out of the gun industry, then I don't have to worry about ATF knocking on my door, putting me out of business because I do have two FFLs. I don't have to worry about, you know, the government trying to take away my business or my rights. Like, I just sit there, I sell plants, and I'm not talking about pot, but if I'm selling plants, I probably will take up pot smoking, if we're being honest, not a care in the world. And worst thing that could happen is I get some, you know, some spider mites, and it kills my plants, and I'll take that any day, if we're being honest. But just to kind of backtrack a little bit, so I got into plants after my mom passed away. My mom always had plants growing up, and she always had like a huge garden, and I used to think like, oh, what a waste of time. And then after she passed away, I just wanted to do stuff that reminded me of her. And so I got into plants and bought a few house plants, killed quite a few house plants in the beginning, didn't know what I was doing. My first house, I made sure that I had like a really nice garden and green grass. And this was the first time I ever even had grass growing up, because where we lived, we didn't have grass, but we had like a little patch of grass, but it wasn't much. Even you should have seen the first time I tried to mow a lawn. I thought it was like vacuuming where you just move back and forth. And then towards the end, I got real good and I was like making all the straight lines and stuff. But yeah, first time mowing a lawn, not a good look, but you live and you learn. But then in 2020, staying home and not traveling as much, I started buying all the plants and I got into rare plants. And then that is when I just ran with it. Like, I was obsessed. And when I talk about rare plants and how much these plants were going for at the time, I'm almost embarrassed to admit how much was spent on these plants. I mean, we're talking about, there was this one time where there was this plant that only had three leaves and they were all white. And that's what made it rare, is because normally they'd be green. That plant cost $1,800. And it died. It got spider mites.
Oh, no.
I call them basic B plants, would be like the Monstera Albo or the Monstera Thai Constellation. And what makes these rare is it has less chlorophyll. And so it starts to grow white. I took pictures of the plants that I have, because as much as I want to bring my plants in here, they're just so huge. But I'm going to hold this up to the... So this is one of my plants. This is the Monstera Thai Constellation. And it's just it's a Monstera, but the white makes it rare. And the little holes inside are called fenestrations. I love those. Like, the more fenestrations, the better. That means it's the older, the plant's, you know, super old. There's also, this is a Monstera Albo. And so it's a little bit different. It doesn't mean that it grows solid white. It will still get speckles, but it typically has more white. And what makes this a really unique plant, what makes my plant especially probably even more expensive, is this is what people are after. It's called a half moon. They seek these half moons where half of it grows white and the other half grows green. And so far, this is all that my Monstera Albo has been putting out. It's just all these half moons. And I'm just like, oh, I love it. And it used to be where every time my plant would put out another leaf, it would increase it by about $500. Unfortunately, everyone and their moms also got into plants in 2020. The market is definitely flooded. Lots of people, after, you know, restrictions were let up and people were actually able to travel again and go outdoors, people started selling off their plants, or they learned how to duplicate these plants by propagating them, which I'll go over here shortly. Another plant that I want to show is, this is a Philodendron Pink Princess. Again, you see that half moon and it's pink. So with this plant, instead of growing white, it grows pink. And lots of people are obsessed with this plant as well. Here, what I have on my table is some Syngoniums Albos. So you might be thinking, you're like, that looks like a mess. Okay, so the only thing that is the Syngonian Albo is this white part. And you can see, like, very tiny, there's just a little bit of green. I will say that because these plants don't have the chlorophyll, that they are less likely to survive. But it's not, you know, I mean, if you guys walk through my house, it's not hard to see that they do, they still are surviving. If anything, the plant will still live. The leaves sometimes die off, but then it grows more leaves. So I am propagating these plants. And the reason why you see other plants in it is I learned, so lots of trial and error and lots of research, and I'm such a plant nerd. But if you guys are trying to propagate a plant, I would highly recommend that you put some sort of pothos in. So this thing right here, these are pothos plants, and it's the really viney ones, the ones that just grow all over the place. This is a mycan, which is very similar to a pothos, although it is a philodendron. Pothos and philodendrons are not the same, but they have very similar, and this one I love because you see it looks like it's like a velvet leaf. But the reason why I put pothos in with these plants that I'm trying to propagate is it releases some sort of natural growth hormone, and it causes these plants to root much quicker. And I've only had these in water for not even a month. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I took an entire stem, like this really long stem that was probably about, I would say maybe 5 feet tall. And it was just putting out whites, and it was kind of getting looking like strangly. And this plant that I took it off of is huge. I'll show you guys a picture. But I literally cut it in, you know, about, I'd say like some of it is anywhere from 8 inches to about an inch, or I'm sorry, to about 12 inches. And then I, you know, put them in each little vessel, filled it with water, and then put a pothos plant in with it. And it's crazy how quickly it's taken off, because sometimes it does take a long time. Pothos will always root very quickly. Syngoniums, I've tried to propagate it before and didn't have any luck, whereas like this is like taken off. So I don't know what I did. Maybe because I did add that pothos and that rooting hormone is helping. You could also buy rooting hormone like off of, you know, off the internet if you don't have pothos plants. And then you can see in here it's starting to grow the roots. And these don't have enough roots to put it in dirt yet. You want to make sure that you have a lot of growth before you're doing so, because then it's like it changes up the atmosphere and, you know, you risk the chance of it dying. But you, when you do actually put it in dirt, you want to make sure that you keep it pretty well, like pretty, you know, pretty watered, keep the soil fairly damp. But if anybody is like listening and they're like, I can't keep a plant to save my life, the biggest, like the two biggest things that people go wrong with is they overwater or they don't water it enough. Ideally, I would say, you know, you want to water your plants maybe once a week, but some might even need more than that. So rule of thumb is you put your finger in the soil and about up to your knuckle. If it's dry, then it needs water. If it's damp, it does not need water. So pretty easy. And I think the biggest thing also is some people just care for it too much. Whereas like leave the plant alone, stop touching it, stop moving it everywhere, let it acclimate. And then also don't change out the pot, like right when you get it, keep it in its original pot and let it acclimate. And then after a few months, then you can repot it into something that you would like. But yeah, I've gotten so carried away with plants. Like my house, like I said, looks like a jungle. And here, let me show you guys what the mom plant looks like that these things came from. I don't know if you can, how well you can see that, but that is the big plant, and it's just getting carried away. And then I also have, I just want to share some of these really big plants that I have. This is a bird of paradise, and it is about 11 feet, and it's in my living room. Hence why it looks like a jungle. But yeah. It's just, I don't know. I love it. And plants just bring me a lot of joy. And then it's just really rewarding when they actually survive and they start putting out a new leaf. And I know lots of people in who are like into plants, they'd be like, oh my goodness, a new leaf. Like it just never gets old. Like every time you see your plant putting out a new leaf, it's just exciting.
We have a lot of pothos around the house. Pothos.
Yeah.
And snake plants. Because yes. They're super easy.
Exactly. I mean, and both of those don't require a lot of light. Sorry.
No, They don't. And also, I think snake plant, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it is one of the best house plants for purifying the air in your house.
Yeah, I think I've actually heard that. That I don't know for certain, but I actually think that I have heard that. And I have those in my bedroom because there's not as much light in my bedroom. And both those plants, so pothos and snake plants, and I wish I had a picture of a snake plant, but you guys can just search for it if you're listening or if you're watching. They look a little bit different, but those things, both those plants almost like thrive on neglect. So if you're not very good at, or if you don't have a lot of light in your house, I would recommend starting off with those.
Well, my wife would constantly forget to water the plants in the house, or she'd water them and then I'd come home and be like, oh, I need to water the plants, and then they would die because overwatering. So snake plants, easy. It's like, it looks like it's fake, you know? I mean, because it's such a waxy leaf. I mean, really, the fake ones, they look very similar, but we noticed a huge difference in the house when we got a bunch of the easy plants in. But we got a lot of the pothos and snake plants laying around, and my local nursery has a lot of those philodendrons, those rare ones. And I was looking at prices one day. I think you and I were talking about this maybe off camera last week, but I saw like $700, $800, $900, $1,500. I'm thinking, huh? What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's why when I joked and I was like, I'm going to open up a plant store, and people are like, are you going to grow, like, sell marijuana? I'm like, no, I would make way more money selling these rare plants than marijuana.
Yeah.
But all right, it's crazy.
All right, my turn. All right. So this is something that I don't think I've ever mentioned this on camera anywhere before, but this is kind of an unknown thing. So when I was young, I burnt the ever living crap out of both of my palms. I had a little accident and both of my hands hit the wood stove. In our living room at our old house, when I was, I don't know, maybe 8, 9 years old, somewhere right around there, maybe even younger than that. I can't even remember now, but, burnt so bad, second and third degree burns. I had to have plastic surgery to reconstruct my palms. So skin grafts and all that kind of stuff. And I remember, I do have one memory sitting at my grandmother's house and my hands were all bandaged up. And, you know, when we were kids, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to do as far as entertainment goes. Yeah, you didn't have, like, I mean, my granny didn't have video game system stuff. We just had the TV, and Wheel of Fortune was on, you know, Pat Say Jack, and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wheel's going around, and I'm sitting there clapping with my hands bandaged up. It's like, but anyways, yeah, I burnt the ever-living crap out of my hands, and every now and again, just I'll get flushed, and you can see, like, almost like scar tissue on my palms. It's real blotchy and patchy looking, but for the most part, you know, I'm all good now, but that was something kind of crazy when I was a kid. Since you spent so long talking about your plants, you want me to talk about a couple of short things?
I know. Sorry, that's what happens when you're passionate. I was like, oh yes, okay.
You are,
and it's that's very interesting. All of our listeners, but you know, I think it's
very interesting.
I personally, I don't know about you, but like, I love getting involved in stuff that I don't necessarily understand, or I feel like it's challenging and I want to know how it works. I think that's why I'm so obsessed with politics right now, because I'm still learning and it involves a lot of tactic and stuff like that. So I just get carried away. Anything that I do, I go like 100%.
Oh yeah. Yep. I'm the same way. So when I was a kid, I stayed at my grandmother's a lot, and, you know, she was really big into crafts and all. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to sew, cross stitch, and do like plastic canvas. And she had all these plastic canvas laying around. And, you know, I was getting into art, which I'll discuss, you know, in a bit. But I would cut out my own like designs. And I used to do like these tropical fish. And I would use the yarn and I would do all the colors on them and everything. And I probably still got some of them laying around that my mom gave me a while back when she was moving. But like, I learned how to do all that kind of stuff. But I've known how to sew since I was a kid, and I think it's a skill that everybody needs to have to be able to sew. But I used to do, like I said, the cross stitching and all too, use the patterns, and I mean, I did all kinds of stuff when I was a kid. Like, you don't know what you're going to get into, but did all the normal like boy stuff and all. Like, some folks would say, "Oh, that's kind of weird," but it's just an extra hobby.
Really.
Just an extra hobby.
I'm not that familiar with sewing and stuff, but did you actually use like a sewing machine? Because I don't know cross stitch.
No. Like by hand, because my grandmother used to make quilts all the time. You know, with some of her neighbors, they would have like literally quilting parties, and they had the racks and all set up in her front den, and that's where they would be working on a quilt. And, you know, they would cut out patterns out of various scraps of material they had laying around or whatever the case is, and they would just sit there and they would sew this quilt up. And, you know, I just started piddling around learning how to sew, and my grandmother used to make a lot of her own clothes back in, you know, the 80s and early 90s still. I mean, that was kind of an old tradition that she always had. Go to the fabric store, buy the fabric, buy the patterns, cut out the fabric, and follow the instructions and sew it up. And she did a lot by hand, but she also did a lot by the sewing machine, too. I did learn how to use a sewing machine at the time. But, man, it's kind of a lost art these days.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
During COVID, you mentioned a lot of folks got into plants. A lot of folks cut back into some of these old-timey things as well, like the self-reliance kind of things. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think they should bring back home ec. You know, I don't think male or female, I think that it's good to know all of this stuff. How to cook, how to sew, how to, you know, change a tire, like all this stuff I think is helpful. Let's see here. Another thing that I enjoy is making candles. I made this candle. I think I mentioned this actually on the show with Eric because he lights candles and incense in the background. I was like, all right, I need to step up my game. So I was like, I'm lighting a candle that I made. But putting together a candle, making a good quality candle is not as easy as you would think. You have to, I mean, I got obsessed with this. And then once I figured it out, then I was like, okay, I got it. Meh. But I probably will make candles again because I have all this material. But so you have to pick out the vessel. There's different types of wax, the wick. The amount of fragrance oil, if you want to do essential oils, which don't work as well as the fragrance oil. But what people don't realize is like the candles that you buy at stores are actually pretty toxic. And then you're lighting it and it's going around the air and then your pets are breathing it in and you're breathing it in. Even with the type of wax that's used. So I was trying to get down to as natural of a candle as possible, but still making it smell good. And the wick that you guys, that people choose. So it has to, you could always tell a good candle because if you have it lit for 2 hours, it should be able to melt the entire diameter of the vessel. If it doesn't, then you have to wick up. If it does too quickly within that 2 hours, then you have to wick down. And wick, it was like lots of trial and error. And then what sucks about it is you put this candle together, you can't just try it, you know, the next day. You have to let the candle sit for at least 2 weeks before you can actually get like an accurate study. And then once you figure out the wick to wax to vessel ratio, then you have to figure out your fragrance oil ratio. And if you want to put 8% of fragrance oil to, you know, per wax or 12%, but it all kind of varies. Some waxes are able to take more of a fragrance oil load as opposed to others. And I mean, it, you can get crazy with it. And then as far as the wicks, like the cotton wicks, there's the wood wicks, the ones that crackle and make noise, the ones that are silent. It's this whole thing. And then on top of that, the minute you change your vessel, cause then I bought some other vessels that I was like, oh, this will be cool. And then I realized, I'm like, now I have to do the testing all over again. And you have to write on every little piece of paper, you know, fragrance load, the wax, the wick, and just sit there and light candles over and over again. And it's, I don't know, but I thought it was just something that was like interesting to me and I wanted to learn more about. And there's lots of resources online. There was lots of Facebook groups and stuff. And yeah, I just thought it was kind of cool. But long story short, I have about 100 candles now. So if the electricity goes off, well, I'm covered. I don't know about you, though.
Well, I don't have candles, but I've got a lantern collection.
Oh, nice.
I'm a big Coleman lantern guy. I've got, I don't know, like 40 lanterns. I'm a weirdo.
Dang.
But I've lit about 30 of them at one time. I took a bunch of them outside and lined them up on the driveway. And this is something I've mentioned on the channel. With Eric, yeah, we did a video on lantern collecting just because, whatever, something he wanted to do. But I've lit like 30 of them at the same time before. I've taken them camping, and I mean, it's just cool to, you know, the kids are playing outside in the summertime, and you know, it gets a little bit late. I put a couple lanterns out there in the yard, light them up, and they got some light to play with. It's just, it's cool. and I've repaired a lot of them and brought them back into service. Got some fairly collectible ones. Some military ones, some of the old Coleman military lanterns, some kerosene ones, all kinds of weird stuff. But when I was a kid, I had a obsession with bugs, like bug collecting. Like, go around and I would find, beetles, butterflies, dragonflies, whatever, or, I'd find them alive and I'd catch them and I'd put them in a jar and let them die, and then I'd put a needle through them.
Yes.
And back then we didn't have the internet, right? This is like way before America Online and the whole nine yards. So I have this volume library, says like three books, and it was like basic knowledge, more or less, of everything. And then we had encyclopedias. So I had to go through these encyclopedias, and I had a couple of bug-specific books, and figure out what these things were. So I'd, like, make a little tag and write their scientific name on it and all, and I had this whole collection going, and my mother hated it. She's like, get these bugs out of my house. They're falling apart. But, butterflies, moths, the whole nine yards. I mean, like wasps, hornets, all kinds of crazy stuff. But like at my granny's house, she had peach trees and fig bushes and all kinds of plants and stuff outside. And I would find nests in there and all kinds of bugs, like beetles up under, the mulch and everything. I was out there like with my head up under a dang bush digging around when I was like 10 years old. Serious bug collector, and it goes back to my obsession with data. I'm a huge data nerd, and like making those candles and keeping track of everything and then comparing and contrasting, various techniques. That's right up my alley. That's kind of like hitting my OCD right in the feels. So
yeah, absolutely. I know. So sometimes we think we don't have a lot in common, but we actually do. I'm going to take a quick break and talk about Gideon Optics. So I mentioned the lever action that I have from Rossi. I put that Mediator red dot on it, and it is perfection. I did have my camera guy put the optic on originally, and they didn't take out the riser, so it looked a little goofy. Since then, I have taken that riser off, but also I suppressed it. So what I loved about it is it does have a threaded barrel, and I put a can on it. And it is just, I'm telling you, like, I went from, like, not really loving lever actions to now I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of, obsessed. But what really makes this whole thing come together is just, like, a great optic and being able to actually hit your target. And, there's nothing worse than, like, having some, some optic that, like, may or may not work, or it's just not... it's not giving you like that good like sight picture and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I really, really like the Mediator. In fact, Chad, you got the Mediator. How is that doing for you? Have you had a chance to use it?
What kind of a question is that? Of course I haven't had a chance to use it. No, I haven't had a chance to mount that thing up and go to the range at all. We have been so busy lately. It's just, I'd say it's insane, but I think we're past the level of insanity now. Because I've got children in sports, and any of you folks out there with kids in sports know what kind of existence that's like during the early part of spring. I don't need to say anything else, but I really like the Gideon Optics quite a bit. They've got a great lineup, and the best thing about it is just the quality of these pieces of glass for the money spent is just insane. I'll never really understand it, but they have got some great values in the optic realm now, and they're a big competition or a big competitor out there now with some of the big dogs that have been around for a while. But I think their glass is exceptionally clear, especially the LPVO that I recently got in. That's one of the first things I noticed. The glass is very, very clear. Without like pincushion distortion or chromatic aberration like I've seen in some other brands that are in that same price point. So I'm not sure what they're doing, if they're just using a larger piece of glass and shrinking it down and using just the best portion of that particular piece of glass or what, but I think it scores above other things I've tried in the past, so they're doing a great job.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, the people behind the company are amazing as well, which I appreciate. So check them out. Tell them we sent you, gideonoptics.com. Another thing that I really enjoy that I've mentioned on previous podcasts is mushroom hunting. And don't get too excited. It's not the happy mushroom, you know, the stuff that makes you hallucinate. Although, well, I'll keep my comments about that to myself. But just looking for just like regular mushrooms, and a lot of these mushrooms you could eat. Hell, you know what? It was like roughly right before fall. My whole thing was like going up the mountains and finding stuff like wild raspberries, wild strawberries. I even found wild hops, which was crazy to me. Lots of different mushrooms. Some of these mushrooms were like really expensive mushrooms that you could eat. And I don't know, I just thought it was so much fun, and it was a great way to get outdoors and just, you know, pay attention to your surroundings and just the little things. Cause like you would think that finding mushrooms is easy, but you kind of have to stay in one place and just kind of look very closely, and they're growing on different things. And, you know, and then on top of that, just very similar to you with the insects, I got this book and was like looking through the book and trying to determine, you know, if this mushroom was good or bad, if I could eat it or if I couldn't eat it. And like, sometimes it was like, well, if it has a spot right here, and I was like, well, it doesn't have that spot, but this could be the difference between being deadly and being edible. So, but I really like that. And I'm really looking forward to summer coming and mushroom hunting. And hopefully we get a bunch of rain, because that definitely helped also with those mushrooms growing.
Do y'all have morels out there?
No. And I've never tried one, and I would love to try one because I've heard they're delicious.
Well, 22 Plankster, a buddy of his, he's a huge mushroom hunter. And, you know,
is 22 really?
Plankster. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Massive mushroom hunter. He's always posting pictures of morels.
Wait, so you're telling me that him and I, we both like Justin Bieber and we mushroom hunt?
Oh, yeah. And he tracks down like wild ginseng and stuff. He goes out foraging all the time. Yeah.
I don't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him, like, I'm going to be like, look, I'm coming to see you. And him and I are pretty good friends, but I did not know that about him at all.
Yep. Mention that next time. So I'm actually an artist as well. I don't know if I've mentioned this on previous podcasts, and I'm not even sure if I've ever really mentioned this on the channel, but I've got a small portfolio. I'll show you a few things.
What? That's right, crazy. So... Oh, wow. Wait. How did you draw that?
Yeah. This is a photo of the original drawing. The original drawing is like 18 by 24, but that's charcoal. And this is some stuff I've done.
I thought that was, honestly, at first I was like, did you draw that, or is that a picture?
Mm-mm. No. So this was a charcoal of a statue that we had in college. So I kept a lot of the copies, but I left a lot of this at the college. My instructor, he wanted to keep a lot of my work as examples. This was like a drawing of a bus that was on the wall, and this was just one of our assignments back then. This was like 20 years ago, Ava.
That was crazy.
Yeah, so I've always been into art. Let's see.
Wow.
Since I was a kid.
This is fantastic. This is like, it is so hard to tell the difference between, like, it literally looks like a photograph. It looks so realistic, and then... for anybody who's listening and isn't watching, I mean, so statues, a picture of a woman. And like, I originally thought, I was like, wait, did you draw that? Because it looked like an actual photograph of a woman.
Yeah, now this is a stipple. That's dots.
Wow. And that's a lion.
A tiger, yeah.
Yeah, a tiger.
That's like 25,000 dots. This is a colored pencil of Norman Rockwell.
Painting. Wow, that's crazy.
But I've done a lot of painting and stuff in the past. My mom has a lot of my work hanging at the house, a bunch of landscapes and stuff. This is one that's unfinished. I never finished this one. It's actually still in my portfolio at the house, but this is kind of like showing you the process. But I didn't work it in and really blend all those highlights and the shadows and stuff, but that's some of
that's
it. But
really good.
Yeah, when I was in kindergarten, I drew this picture off of Mickey Mouse. It was like a Mickey Pops bag, I think. Mm-hmm. And I drew Mickey Mouse and like Disney and all this stuff. And my mom still has that picture hanging up in her house. But that was one of the first things that I ever like just sat down and drew. And nobody knew that I could draw. I didn't know. I mean, I was like 5 and a half, 6 years old. But I started drawing a lot more. I drew like dragons and like, you know, He-Man and all this kind of stuff. And I was trying to draw Arnold Schwarzenegger, like from Commando or whatever, when I was in, I don't know, fourth grade. And I didn't know how to draw pecs, right? Like trying to draw like Arnold, I drew boobs like this. And I got in trouble. I got sent to the office. I mean, I even got like a paddling because of it. Like I got in so much trouble. And I was like, oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it. But anyways, I got in so much trouble. And this is when paddling was still allowed. But yeah, that picture is funny. I mean, it's clear as day. It's boobs. It's boobs. but yeah, when I was in, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade, I started doing, art lessons with a local artist, and, she had several students, and mainly we would paint more than anything else. And, myself and a friend who was in there, we, I think we were maybe in, sixth grade, maybe seventh grade, 12, 13 years old at the time. We painted canvas banners for our city to hang up during the Olympics. When the Olympics were in Atlanta in 96, the torch came through our county seat, and I helped paint all those banners that were all around town. And then throughout middle and high school, I worked with her doing murals locally and making extra money. I mean, as a kid in like sixth or seventh grade, I could go and paint a mural for a couple of days and make like $200.
Yeah. That's
and
crazy.
You know, as a kid, it's like, holy cow, especially back then, like I'm rich.
I know,
you know, but yeah, I got into art at an early age, and, I've retained it as a hobby for a long time. And, you know, after I got into, IT in college, because I was going to get into architectural drafting and design, and the bottom of the housing market and everything fell out back in before 2010, and I decided to go for IT. And then about that same time, that's when you know, we started doing the channel full time. And I've kind of been out of my art hobby for a very long time. My kids will still ask me to draw stuff for them just to kind of get them started on a given project. But all of my kids exhibit an artistic ability. My daughter, especially, she has a very, very good knack for like sculpting. You know, she sculpts stuff out of clay all the time, just out of her head.
Yeah.
And she's made all kinds of little characters and figurines. I mean, she's just extremely creative. And my oldest son, he's getting very, very good at doing, you know, like pencil and charcoal drawings and shading, and he just has a natural ability for that. My wife and I are both, you know, we have artistic streaks, both of us do, so our kids get it on us. But that's something that people may not know about me, but I'm not at all into abstract or anything. I'm a pure realist. I like realism, architecture, automobile drawings, you know, and then the portraits and stuff. So
that's amazing. Yeah, I definitely didn't know that about you. And it's interesting, too, because you don't typically see somebody who's left brain and right brain. So you find somebody you strike me as more of like a science math guy versus an artistic guy, which typically you don't see, you know, you don't find people to exhibit both. I myself am more, I think, right brained artistic. And that's exactly what I did. I used to draw people nonstop. And I was more of like into all that realistic stuff. And some people don't know, but I initially wanted to go to college for fashion design because I would constantly draw these women and different clothes and stuff like that. And I still do art, but I do now more of the abstract stuff as well as like the acrylic pouring, which some people might say it's not artistic. You literally just mix all these paints together and pour it on a canvas, but there is still like some technique to it. It's not as easy as some people might think, but yeah, I love art, and it's just, I love doing anything, you know. I mean, I could easily walk into Hobby Lobby and be like, all right, I'll do that and make anything happen. But
very cool. All right. Well, I think that might be enough unknowns and secrets for the day. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, you guys never know. We might come up with another episode where we share more with you. Cause I think it's, you know, I think it's good to show that, like, you know, people, you know, most people, we're not just like, I mean, yeah, we're obsessed with guns, no doubt about it, but we also have other facets, just like, you know, other people. So again, it's like finding that common ground. I'm sure that there's tons of people that are anti-gun that are also artistic, into plants, making candles, maybe collecting lanterns, I don't know. But again, you know, it's good to share all of this stuff, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Moving forward with the rest of the show, unfortunately, we do not have a listener of the week. Nobody left us a review. But if you guys would like to leave us a review, I would love to hear from you. I know Chad would as well. Just go to the app on your iPhone and the podcast app. Search for Pew Pew Panel. Scroll down to the end where it says review. And you actually have to write something. You can't just give us like a, you know, a 1 to 5 star review, although hopefully it is only 5 stars. But you have to write something. It'll appear. And then we will name you as listener of the week. And on that note, we're out of here. We appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't to. Follow us on social media. Just Pew Pew Panel. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you guys.